It was after Jesus had died, he rose from the grave, that there were two disciples, and they were walking together towards the town Emmaus. They were confused, puzzled. They were discussing amongst themselves the events of what had taken place. Jesus, unbeknown to them, all of a sudden is there walking with them. Another traveler, they thought. And they continued in that conversation. They continued to just express that confusion that was going on. And then Jesus interrupts their conversation. They don't know yet if that is Jesus. But if you go to Luke chapter 24, that's where this event is taking place. The disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus interrupts the conversation. And in verse 27, it says in reference to Jesus, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Did you catch that? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets. You see, Jesus went back to the Old Testament. Of course, he had to because the New Testament wasn't written yet. He went back to the Old Testament, and there he told them about himself, about the Christ, about the Messiah. And it was through that that the eyes of these disciples were opened and they understood. And you may ask, well, why Moses? Why Moses? Moses was in the eyes of every Jew, past and present, a savior. Yes, if you talk to a Jew today, Moses is key in their faith system. As believers in Jesus Christ, we would say that Moses was a foreshadow or a type of Christ. So even us today, even we as Christians, evangelical Christians, we would go back and we would look at Moses and say Moses was a foreshadow of Christ. I say, well, that's strange. Okay, so what is this all? Well, just think about Moses for a second. God called Moses. God called Moses. Yes, the burning bush. There God called Moses. But back up the clock a little bit. When Moses was born, God called him already. God protected him. He was placed in a, not a manger, but almost. He was placed in a basket and protected by God. And he grew up. And then God called him. And through powerful miracles, and we know these miracles, Moses delivered, yes, it was God, but through Moses, God delivered the nation Israel. He took them through the Red Sea on dry ground, and the waters closed, and all the enemies there were destroyed. And he was taking them to the promised land. And on that journey, God provided for them every day. Every morning there was manna, food to eat. And when they needed water, there was water. It's interesting when you read through the desert wandering 40 years. They weren't supposed to wander 40 years. They ended up wandering 40 years because they didn't obey God. But even in their disobedience, and we see this aspect of grace coming through again and again and again, even through that disobedience, God took care of them. As you read there, you'll discover that it says for 40 years they wandered in the desert and their sandals didn't wear out. Ladies, imagine for a moment. 40 years, no new shoes. Oh, I'd be having money in the bank. Okay, sorry, wife. Oh, yeah, 40 years and the sandals didn't wear out. Isn't that neat? God takes care of his people. He does. Amen, yes. So the Jews still today look at Moses as their savior. And under Moses, when they went through the Red Sea and on the other side, their destination was Mount Sinai. God had it all planned. And when they got to Mount Sinai, God gave them the law. Wow. But why? Why? Because there, under Moses' leadership, the law was given, but a covenant was formed. It was really a covenant that undergirded that earlier covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and goes back all the way back to Adam in the garden. That covenant was undergirded with a covenant made there at Mount Sinai. And that covenant tied together with the law. Exodus 19, verses 2 to 6. Flip your Bibles over to Exodus, close to the beginning of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus 19, 2 to 6. It says, after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai. And Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. And the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob. And what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt. And how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Out of all nations they will be the treasured possession. But all nations are God's. Although the whole world is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. And so here we see the initial start of a covenant that is being formed. This covenant was based on the Ten Commandments, which the nation Israel failed to keep before Moses got down from the mountain. They already were sinning. And when you read this passage through twice before the Ten Commandments, before they were made, twice Israel said, yes, we're going to follow and we're going to obey. But before Moses got down from the mountain, they were already involved in disobedience. And of course, the tablets broke. For us today, we would say, before the ink was dry, it was broken already. Yeah, that's what happened. And yet, God's grace was there. God knew all of this. God's grace was there. With the Ten Commandments comes a sacrificial system. A system of priests is put into place, as we read just a little bit earlier there in Exodus. So a system of sacrifices, a system of priests were put in place, reminding their people of their sin, reminding the people, the nation Israel, of their sin and their need for a permanent solution. You see, that's what this is about. But the nation Israel, they put their hope in Moses, they did, and in the law and the sacrificial system, but it was inadequate. Inadequate. So it brings us to the New Testament to help us understand this connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10. Go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. The writer there writes, connecting the sacrificial system that was instituted under Moses' leadership and Jesus' sacrifice. Hebrews 10, verses 1 to 7, it starts. It says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have it been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. The passage continues. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. This is Psalm 40, a quote from Psalm 40. sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, my God. It was written about me. Already back there, we see already the story of Jesus. And it began with Passover. When the sacrificial system started, it started with Passover. And there a lamb without blemish was offered, and the meat was roasted. The family gathered together around the fire. The blood of the lamb was put around the doorposts, and the angel of death would pass because blood was shed. This passage also tells us something very important, and that is that the legal system, the law, and the priests, and the sacrifices is only a shadow. Only a shadow. It's not the real thing. But it points to something. It identifies that something else is coming. I think you can identify with this. I'll tell you a little story. It just happened on Saturday. The prayer walk run team was running, and we were running yesterday afternoon. Now, I didn't see this. The story came later because you'll know why right away. Ken was out in the lead. He had passed Derek. They were running, and Ken passes Derek. Derek stopped for a moment. Ken goes past him, getting close to the end of the run in the morning. And Ken, I'm just third party. I'm listening afterwards. Ken looks down, and he sees this shadow on the ground coming. And he puts on the speed, and he goes. The shadow was only a hint of what was coming. It was Derek. The shadow, the sacrificial system, all of that is only a hint. Jesus was coming. And Jesus was coming to put an end to all of that. We recognize now a shadow is not the real thing. It's not. It catches our attention. But it's very different than the real thing. Again, our passage in Hebrews 10, it started. The law is only a shadow. Did you notice the next words? And so often we read, and the moment we hear law, we get this kind of negative concept, and we tune out, and all of this stuff happens for us as Christians. But did you catch the next phrase? The law is only a shadow, what? Of good things that are coming. You see, it only tells us that something better is coming. Jesus. Jesus. Too often we've looked at the law as negative. But the writer of Hebrews says, no, don't do that. Look at the law as something positive. It's telling us of something better to come. It's telling us that animal sacrifices and all this stuff just doesn't work. It tells us that we can't obey the law in our own strength and power. We can't do it. Now you might say, well, then we can just give up. And the writer of Hebrews says, no. There's something better coming. You see, that's Jesus. And Jesus gives us the power not to obey the law. That's not what it is. Jesus gives us the power and strength to live holy lives, lives that reflect God. That's what we're supposed to be living. Forget about the law. We're supposed to be living lives that reflect God. And how do we know what that is? Jesus. You see, Jesus came and walked this earth. He was, we could say, an image. He was God. The way he acted, what he behaved, what he did. We see the character of God. And then today we have the Holy Spirit. who lives in us when we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. So every time you get frustrated with, we could say, the law, frustrated that things didn't go right, that you messed up, that you let God down, don't be discouraged. Turn to Christ and embrace Him. Don't be satisfied with the shadow. No, turn to Christ. And so the Bible from the very beginning tells us of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God taking on human form. And the writer continues in the book of Hebrews. He writes in verse 8, it continues chapter 10. He says, first he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. See, God never desired that. Though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here am I. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You see, when we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the debt has been paid. And it's been paid in full. Through His sacrifice, we have been made holy. The picture's painted for us again, and then the solution comes. And God was never satisfied with that sacrificial system, but the solution, here it is. Day after day, every priest stands, performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Jesus paid the price, and today he is at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for us. He stands between us and God, and when God looks at you, when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. Until Christ comes back, and then the work is completed. The final verses of Hebrews, it goes in verse 14, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, this is my covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. So that those Ten Commandments and all of that is put aside. And how does God write His law on our hearts and on our minds? Through the Holy Spirit. He gives us His Spirit to live in us. God lives in us. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. You see, the Passover, the Day of Atonement, first fruits, and the list of sacrifices, special days continues. It's all gone. But it all pointed to Jesus. And in Jesus, it has all been fulfilled. It's done. So today, we're almost at the end of the story. We are. Sometimes we don't realize that. We're still sandwiched in the middle, but almost at the end. We look back to the cross when everything changed. It started with Christmas. It ends at the cross. And we're living in that period between the cross and Christ's return. And I know we love reading the end of a story. And sometimes I even know with my kids, I remember back when I'd read a story with my kids, if it was a familiar story, it would be, Dad, let's go to the end. I see someone nodding of parents' heads, you know, because the end of the story is so good. But at times, we need to read all of the story so that the end of the story makes more sense. And so when we come and we look through these prophecies and we look and see what God has done, we should be amazed and we should stand in awe and worship God. The final connection I want to bring here under Moses' covenant that comes in and connects to Jesus is in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 19. And here it says, Moses again, the Lord your God will raise up. Moses says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me among you from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, and this goes back to the Mount Sinai, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. And the Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I have commanded him. And that's what Jesus has done. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. And there's the foreshadow or the prophecy of Christ. Again, for us today, we look back. We look back at Christ's death and resurrection. We realize that the Holy Spirit is living in us. We no longer have to fill all of those laws, we could say, that were written on stone tablets. But instead, we follow God as revealed to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we live lives that are holy. The word holy, we lose some thought in the English language. But the word holy, is the thought of it is being separated unto. And so we live lives that are separated unto God. Lives that reflect God. Lives that are focused on God. That's what we are to live. So that's what God calls us to. So as we come to the final here, and a question that I need to leave with you is, where are you putting your hope this Christmas? Where are you putting your hope this Christmas? Are you putting your hope in presents? No, you're too old for that. Yeah, okay. Are you putting your hope in work? You know, is your life dependent on that work? Is that where your hope is? Is your hope placed in your health? Is your hope placed in your family? Or is your hope placed in Jesus? The one who paid the price for our sins. The one who restored us back into relationship with God the Father. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The one who wants to guide and direct you, not just for today, but for eternity.